All right, so let's continue. All right, so we're towards the turret number tes. So we're up to we're in the middle of the last paragraph from page Yud Aleph from the base. It starts with Vitzarach Lezez Chus Gadol. So I guess we'll just start up again. Again, Rav Nachman's telling us the basic idea that Rav Nachman's telling us is that tefillah has a rejuvenating kayach. Tefillah is an inyan that the neshama of a yid is able to be rejuvenated. It's returning to its source and becomes rebooted. And with that comes a lot of good shefa. He described it comes with parnasa. It comes with the inyan of shidduchim. That's the and so he explained that because tefillah has this kayach of sort of returning to one's shayrish and rejuvenating oneself, that's why Torah is very personal to neshamas. So, for example, since Klal Yisrael divided into 12 different categories of neshamas, 12 different shvatim, that means that really every single shevet has its own nusach, has its own place that tefillah is supposed to bring it, that rejuvenating source. So tefillah has that kayach of being able to, again, rejuvenate the neshama through its individual path that tefillah brings it to. So as we brought to the last paragraph over here, V'tzarech lezez chus gadol. A person needs a great schus. She yizka adam lahalis tefilase derech shara shayach l'shiftai. That their tefillah should that a person should ascend. That their neshama should return to its shayrish and become rejuvenated by that through its tefillah in its direct in its particular path in its shevet. To find that path is not a pasha thing. A person needs a big schus. V'zesh amar Abba ben Yamin. This is what he references the Gemara Brachas. So this is what we saw last time. We began to see it, but to be clear. So again, the Gemara says on Hayim Beis and Brachas, the Gemara says like this. Yeah, Tanya. The Gemara says he doesn't quote the whole thing, but I'll just give you the background. The Gemara says Tanya Abba ben Yamin Oimer. Abba ben Yamin used to say Al Shnei Dvarim. He said Al Shnei Dvarim Yisim Mitzdayer Kol Yamei. There were two things that he was always like worried about and focused on. Al tefilasi shteis lifnei mitasi. Am I davening that it should be lifnei mitasi in front of my bed? Which the Gemara then deals with. What does it mean in front of my bed? It means that his bed was separating between him and the wall. The Gemara says, no, that can't be, because that's not you're not supposed to do that. Rather, it means that his davening lifnei mitasi means like immediately upon waking up, that he woke up and he immediately went to daven. He didn't do anything else. There's Machlokes Rashi Tosis over here. We spoke about this once on a shir. There's Machlokes Rashi Tosis whether a person is even allowed to learn before davening. But that was the Akapad of Av Ben Yamin, that his davening should be right away as he wakes up. And the second thing he was always mitzdar is Val Mitasi Shtei Nesuna Bein Tzof and Ladarim, that his bed should be placed, positioned in his home between the north and south. The north and south, and Gemara explains, because that's the Gemara says a person does that, haven like banim zecharim, then they'll be zeicha to have male children. That's the Rishonim explain, has to do with the Shechina. So since the Shechina is usually, there's different ways how the Rishonim say it, but according to most Rishonim, since the Shechina is between the west and the east, so if you were to place your bed between the west and the east, it's a little bit disrespectful. So that's why he avoided that, and that these are the two things that he was mitzdar, that he was always concerned and always worried by. Now, what's interesting is that in the simple reading of the Gemara, what's the connection between these two things? Yeah, they're all about a bed. You know, those are the inyanim that Abba Yom was worried about. One is that his davening should be right when he gets out of bed, and the second thing is that his bed should be in the right position. Okay, so this is where Rav Nachman explains to us this like this. V'zesh Amar Abba Yom. This is what Abba Yom is saying, that Kol Yom Ayisim Mitzdar Al Shnei Dvarim. Again, the two things that he was worried about. Number one, al tefilasi shetei samach l'mitasi, that his davening should be next to his bed, right with his not physically next, but in conjunction with his bed. So what does that mean? So hainu kanal, the deep meaning of that is what we're talking about. She yispal derech shar hamata shaloi, that the word mita obviously means a bed, also comes the word mata, which means a shevet. So what Avraham Yom was worried about, that his davening should be authentic for him, that it should return him to his source of chiyas through his particular shevet. Again, ki yishneim asermatik, because there's 12 shvatim, and every shevet has its own shahr. V'spal al shalai tisrachik tefilasim mimata shalai. And he's davening. It's interesting. He's davening that his davening should ascend in the right way to his right shevet. V'zel loshen mata. That's the meaning of the word mata. V'yerkimata loshen zivug. Again, reflecting back to what he said before, we saw earlier on that he connected this idea to Kriyas Yamsuf, right? That Kriyas Yamsuf is 12 different paths, so that corresponds to the Vayda of Tefillah in this way, that every Shevet has its own path, and since by Kriyas Yamsuf, Kosha Yizvukin ke Kriyas Yamsuf, and Kosha Parnasa Shaladim ke Kriyas Yamsuf, so davening in such a way where it goes into your Shar, into your Mata, so it has the Kayach of to Miyached Yichudim, it brings a Zivuk. And so that's Kamayim Har Samach, and that's the second reference of Abba Ben Yamin, Al Mitasi Shtei Nesuna, that his bed should be positioned between the north and the south, meaning, in other words, that his Zivugim should be in the right way. Umitu Bechina Zivug, again, that's a reference to Zivug. And Gam Matu Bechinas Parnasa. We also find that the word Mat is associated with Parnasa, Kamay Shekazov, Beshivri Lechem Mati Lechem. So you see also the word Mat is associated with Lechem, with bread, with Parnasa. Because again, that's the Nakuda is, what's he worried about his bed? What he's worried about is this inyan that his davening should be b'derech ma'atasa, that it should be in his shevet. That inyan of the tefillah going to one's shevet in the right way, that is associated with zivug, and that's associated with parnasa. And that's all what's hinted to in the statement of Abba Ben Yamin. Kishneim asr matas garin zivug mafarnas and kanal. Because by davening in such a way, in your with your mata, with your shevet, in your way, so then it's goyim zivug, right? It creates a yichud, which obviously materializes down here, as Abba Ben Yamin said, with having good children and v'chulu umafarnesin, and it also produces a parnasa, as we said, kasha zivugin and kasha mizanaisav, all kriyas yamsuf, which again is a remez to davening derech mitasa, as kriyas yamsuf was divided into 12 different shvatim, and gam hispal al shiftai. Sheyizku l'shnei shulchanes, and at the same time, he's also davening, Abba Ben Yamin, that his shevet should be zaycha to two portions. In other words, we'll see. Interesting. Sheyizku l'shnei shulchanes. That's a reference to the Gemara. The Gemara says that a person that has wealth in this world and is a huge talmud chacham, so that's called having two tables. Vizel, that's another thing that Abba Ben Yamin is davening for. Vizel, v'al mitasi shtei nesuna bein tzav from the darim. As he says, that my bed should be placed between the north and the south. V'amr chachamein ezrachar nevrach. And Chazal say, haroitza lahachkim, if you want to become wise, yatzvin, then you should face the north in davening. V'aroitza lahashir, and if you want to become wealthy, then your davening should face the south. So Rav Nachman is saying that his tefillah, In this whole sugya of Abba Ben Yamin, that he's davening about that he should have a good mita, which means which is a play on words with the word mata. So he's davening that his davening should be derech shiftai through his mata, through his shevet, which is also associated with zivug, which is a simple pshat of him being makbid, that his bed is positioned properly, and it's also associated with parnasa, as the pasuk says, "B'shivri lochem mati lechem." So, part of what he's davening for, also the specific remez that he makes that his bed should be between north and south, is also being merames a third thing, which is that when a person davens in the way of his shevet, they could be zaychet to two shulchanes. They'll be zaychet to be both connected to the north, which is chachma, and connected to the south, which is wealth. That's what Nachman says. What's this last little thing thrown in there? That if a person davens derech his shevet, then he's zaycha, he's connected, the bed is between the north and the south, it's connecting the north and the south. So again, I mean, you know, there's a ma'isa from the Mizrach Shemagid. Maybe this is what it means. There's a ma'isa from Mizrach Shemagid that one of his chassidim, one of his, before he, in the beginning, was very, very wealthy. And then as the person became more connected to Mizrach Shemagid and more connected to learning and so on, his parnassus started to take a hit. So he went to his rebbe. He said, I don't understand. I'm becoming more connected to you and I'm losing my parnassus. So Mizrach Shemagid said, it's very simple. The Gemara says that if a person wants to become wise, then you have to go to the north. If a person wants to become wealthy, then you have to go to the you want to become wise, go to the south, if face the south. If you want to become wealthy, then face the north. You can't have you can't be in two places at once. So in the beginning, when you were more focused on wealth, so you're tilting yourself to the north, fine. And now that you're being machben more and you're learning and so on, you're tilting yourself to the south, and you become more connected to Chachma. So the guy looks at Mr. Shemagi like, you know, so I'm doomed to, you know, to have to make this choice. So Mr. Shemagi said, but the truth is, that's only when you're still when you still are yesh. But if you become ayin, if you become nothing, then you can taka be in both places at once. So that's this nice with Mr. Shemagi. So I'm just thinking maybe that's related to this idea as well. I mean, again, this is what we've been saying, that this inning of davening and returning to one's shayrish is the rejuvenation that davening brings by tefillah bringing you back to your shayrish. The shayrish of a yid is ayin, right? Ain mazal Yisrael. Mazal is always considered like the beginning, the root of something, right? Everything has a mazal telling it to grow. So the mazal is the root through which the rejuvenation process begins. That's the rebooting. Where is the mazal of the yid? So ain mazal Yisrael, as the Svarim will explain. Ayin mazal Yisrael, nothingness. So the whole avodah of Nachum is talking about of davening bringing you back to your personal sharish. Well, what is a yid's personal sharish? Well, a yid's personal sharish is nothingness. I don't mean nothingness like not existing, but like supernal nothingness, right? To become completely ayin, to become batel in ain't saif. That's, and again, that's what we've been, without going into too much of the depth that we've been talking about the past couple of weeks of this ending of Klal Yisrael through tefillah returning to mamish pre-creation. Ad kedei kach, that we're bringing the Rabbanu Shalom into where we give him his parnasa, and we make that ultimate yichud between Nishmas Yisrael and God to the highest degree, in which case you can't even separate the two because it's one inyan. But al kolpanim, the Yisrael Dover is that the tefillah that Rav Nachman is talking about is a tefillah of absolute hisbadlus, over a person becomes nothing. In which case, and that's why it's rejuvenating, because you return to your shayrish, which is ayin mazal Yisrael. And so Mimela, just like Rav Nachman, such as Mr. Shemagid said, if you're in a state of ayin, then you could taka be north and south at the same time. So that's Rav Nachman saying. So when a person is zaycha to daven in such a way, then the bed is between the north and the south, and it's able to bring both chachma and wealth. A person is zaycha to shtei shulchanis, to both tables. So this is the irony again, that this whole type of davening, which Rav Nachman, like in the beginning of the piece, okay, davening rejuvenates one's koiches and you become rejuvenated and so on. So it sounds like this type of davening is one that is very much like, what's the word, that rejuvenates your sense of self. Well, the answer is it does. But ultimately, a Jew's deepest sense of self is in truth God's sense of self. And that's the highest level of nothingness. The highest level of bittul is where a person's identity is so woven with God's identity that there's no way to separate the two. The person's just completely bottled. That's, you know, we've mentioned this idea in Chassidus many times, that there's different madrigas of becoming batel to Hashem. So one madriga is called bittel hayesh. We've mentioned this many times. Bittel hayesh means I don't want to do what I want to do, but I will hold, I'll nullify my will to Hashem's will. In other words, I still want to do what I want to do, but I just won't do it. I'll do what God wants. That's called bittel hayesh. That's pretty good, but it's still the, you know, entry level. And then there's another madriga in Chassidus that's called yesh misha shabatel, or yesh misha raitza. You're still somebody, and you still have your desires. You hold yourself back. And then there's another madriga, which is bittel b'metzias. Bittel b'metzias is that the person says, I'm amish nothing, and I specifically don't want, like, anything. You know, like Baal Shem Tov taught, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Antignash Ish Tzaycha said, that a person should be like a servant that serves his master. Our nusach is, Shalayam anas lekabel pras, not for the sake of reward. So Baal Shem Tov said, that's not really what Antignash Ish Tzaycha said. That's how it was, you know, polished up a little bit later. Not polished, but that's how it was like packaged a little bit later on for later generations. But really what Rav Tikvan Shesecha said is that a person should be like a servant that serves his master, al minas shaloy lekabel pras, on condition not to get reward. That's a much higher level of bittul. It's like, I'm not interested in anything. But you understand that that's still not the highest level of bittul, because that madrega is still recognizing the theory of receiving something selfishly, but you're rejecting it. The highest level of bittul is, I'm happy to receive reward. Why? Because when I receive reward, it's God receiving reward. It's all the same. Like it doesn't affect the. It's, I'm completely happy and good to do that. There's no need to hide behind. There's no reason not to receive, because you know it's like when Hashem said to Avram Avinu, Altir Avram, don't, after the War of the Four Kings, right? So Avram Avinu was afraid that his chusim became lowered. So Avram Avinu says, so Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Altir Avram, don't be schar chahar b'moyid, you've a lot of schar. The question is. But it's a legitimate concern. I mean, you have a lot of schar left over. I mean, Avraham Avinu was worried. There's such a thing as menachas chuyosav, that when the miracles happen to a person, it takes away from their reward. So Avraham Avinu is legitimately worried. What's the answer? You have a lot of reward. Why? What's the mechanics? So the answer is this idea. Is when a person's seeing themselves as still separate, their identity, their ego is separate from Hashem, then now when you're talking about reward, it's like Hashem is giving to me. And so now it's already a cheshbon. How much should I receive? How much should I not receive? Okay, so if I had unbelievable miracles and I war single-handedly, or maybe not single-handedly, but double-handedly, a war against the four kings, so it takes away from the cheshbon. But Avraham Avinu was not holding. Avraham Avinu was on the Madrega where it's, I receive. God's being mashpia. This is just the... I'm part of the experience. I'm at Sinar. Avraham Avinu didn't receive it. The concept of selfishness was not in Avraham Avinu's vernacular. The whole idea was not. So then the Schar Chayar Moed. There's no reason for the Rabbanu Shel not to continue giving. So the highest level. So ironically, when a person really gets to a highest level of Ayin, that's when you are truly rejuvenated, and you could actually embrace. You know, a life of something of power. I'll give an example. The commander writes this in his commentary to Noitzer Chesed, to Pirkei Avos, in Noitzer Chesed. He says there are two categories. It's also in the Gita Lag Baomer. There's two. He says like this. He says sometimes when tzaddikim see that there's a kitrig, there's chas v'shalom, some sort of prosecution, some sort of mania, amidas hadin or something, upon a person, chas v'shalom, or upon a situation, and they want to be pile a Yeshua. So the commander, the commander says that a lot of times they want to be pile a Yeshua, but they can't because there's a prosecution. So they can't daven openly, or they can't be geyser, you know, give a brach openly. So the commander says what they'll do is, they'll be malbish. They'll package the bracha, or they'll package the shefa. They'll package it in Torah. So they'll say a vart, and the vart will be somehow, in a way, to bring that shefa down. And once it's packaged in Torah, so the Kamarna says, then there's no kitrug on that. So that's where they have to go in this hidden way. But the Kamarna says that's only true for someone that's reached a level of chachma. That's what he describes. But a person that's reached a higher level of mamish, of ayin, so such a tzaddik, says the Kamarna, never has to worry about kitrugim. He says what he wants, and that's it. And the example the Kamarna gives for that is, I mean, obviously the greatest example is Moshe Rabbeinu, but the example that he gives is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Because he gives, the Zohar says a maisa about Rav Shimon, that Rav Shimon once was visiting the city, I think it was the city of Lod. And so he goes to the city of Lod and he sees, like, there's no one on the streets. Everyone, like, all the houses are boarded up. Like, what's going on? So he asks someone, and someone says, oh, Rabbi, you don't know, there's a magefa going around the city of Lod. And so Rabbi Shimon stands, and Rabbi Shimon says, Shimon ben Yochai is in the city of Lod, and there's a magefa in Lod? I'm glad that there should be no magefa. And so the Zohar says, this is in the Zohar. So the Zohar says that over there, all of a sudden the Baskels came out, and he said, oh, everyone, he took all the Malachi Chavala, the destructive angels, everyone has to get away, Reb Shimon's here, finished. And so after this episode, the Talmid Reb Shimon heard this, and they saw this, whatever. And so they began to praise Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon is mamish, like greater than all the tzaddikim. All of the tzaddikim, they have to go like this to try to find the Netzah, this to try to find the Netzah, different ways. Reb Shimon just says, Sadi Geyser Glish Baruch Makayim, finished. He says there should be no Magev, there's no Magev. So Kamaran explains that this Koyach of Reb Shimon, for example, wasn't coming like Stam because he knew more Torah than everyone else. It's all dependent on the levels of Bittul. The more Bittul someone is, Ad Kedei Kach, that the very thought and idea of selfishness is not in their vernacular, then Adrabba, then they could act self, then they could act with Tekifas. You know what I'm saying? Like a lower level of bittul, since the idea of schar and the idea of ego means something, so then they have to serve Hashem shaloyam manas lekal pras. But when you're talking about a level of Reb Shimon, then adarabba, we could sing songs dedicated to his praise. You know, like which is an amazing, amazing idea, right? And but any one of us, if there was a yontif dedicated to celebrate us, then, you know, we wouldn't be Reb Shimon, right? So that, you know, but all of a sudden, Reb Shimon, you could have a whole holiday, right? The whole Yontif dedicated to pray, you know, and in the Zohar Kodesh you find this. That very often the Talmidim, before a Torah was said by Reb Shimon, they would say praises about him, which is such an interesting thing. So, you know, I think I spoke about this once. The Rebbe Marash has a mimer about that. He says that's part of the avodah. When you talk about big tzaddikim that are so bottle, they're so ayin, in order to sort of draw them down into kalim, you know. So you have to sing their praises. You have to say something to bring them back down, to get their focus down here. That's how bottle, Reb Shimon was. But that idea of, again, the deepest level of ayin is in fact rejuvenating. That's the idea over here. Now, the higher you go, where the neshama with your shayrish, with your shevet, is mamish returned to its source, the source is ayin. But that type of ayin, it's such a degree of oneness with Elikus, like we spoke about last time, of mamish pre-creation, where we could actually, we're part of that experience of Ein Saif, of Hashem Echad v'Shmo Yechad. Then adarabba, then you could actually be like Reb Shimon, which is like, say what you want, say what you need, because the concept of ego is not, again, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu, Dick, which is, when Korach says something, so Moshe Rabbeinu has no issue with standing up there and saying the truth back, like, and because of his humility. That's why he doesn't have to constantly hide behind Shaloyam Manasseh, like, he doesn't have to say these words, I'm nothing, because the very idea of something is not in his vocabulary. So when the idea of something is in your vocabulary, then you have to overcompensate with saying that I'm nothing. But if a person is truly, truly nothing, then you have no problem with saying words that convey somethingness. Because even your somethingness is just nothing. So that you know. So again, like you said before, so when a person davens in this way, then the bed is connected to the north and the south together. Okay, so the next paragraph. The Yaakov, Shukalol, Kol Shemos HaShvatim. And we find this by Yaakov Avinu, that when Yaakov Avinu is Kailo, all 12 Shvatim, right? Vayudeya Kol Matu Mata B'Shar Shai. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu therefore understood the nature and the essence of each shevet. The Shvil Zek Ksivbe, therefore, it says regarding Yaakov Avinu, the yes of Yaakov Raglov El Hamita. This is by the end of his life. So Yaakov Avinu gathers his feet, so to speak, to his bed, which is the lashon that's used over there by his estalkus, by his passing away. So what does this mean for us? V'yes of Yaakov, raglov elamita. Raglov is a b'chinas tefila. Raglayim is a code word for davening. Like it says, tzedek lufanav yahalich, that a person's righteousness walks in front of him. So that's a reference to davening. That's your zchusim, which is davening, sort of walks in front of you. Hainu. So again, so let's go back. So v'yes of Yaakov, raglov. So Yaakov, you know, gathers his feet, which is a reference to davening. El hamita to the bed. Hainu shayu maasev kol atfilas kolachas l'sharsha. That since Yaakov is again is the source, he's the root, he understands all the shvatim, so he gathers all the different shvatim to each one to his sharish. And because of that, since Yaakov represents the ayin, the source that all these 12 shvatim, sort of the they're all coming from. So therefore, because of that, Yaakov is also able to give a piece of the world to Yosef. That I give you additional portion from all your brothers. That was the city of Shechem. He gave him the city of Shechem. Kaidei tfilosai, through his davening, haimesh piachias, lekol shleisha chelke oilam. So because of, Yaakovin was able, through his davening, so if Yaakovin was able to help every particular sheva get to its shayrish, thus rejuvenating itself, and bringing Shefa, like rebooting the system, and bringing Shefa to the world through neshamas, the world was created through neshamas. So if Yaakov could do that for other shvatim, certainly he could do that himself. So therefore, when his davening, and that's what the pasuk means, Yaakov says that I'm giving to Yosef an extra portion of Eretz Yisrael, which is the city of Shechem, which he says I conquered with my davening. That's how Targum translates it. So he says because through his davening, he was able to bring chias to all three parts of the world: Shem Olam HaShafel, which is the physical world; Olam HaKechavim, the world of the stars; Olam HaMalachim and Malachim. Those are the three different dimensions. I guess maybe means, I don't know, Asi, Yitzirin, and Bria. I'm not sure. V'zo, and that's the meaning of Shechem, Shafel, Kaichav, Malach. That's the Rosh HaTevis. Ki kol zezocha de tfilosai. This is all through his davening. K'ma shekosav ashelakachti mi'ar ha'mayri. B'tfilosi u'bakashosi. That's how Targum translates the pasuk. Okay, so that's what the Yaakovina. Now, by the way, this, I mean, again, maybe we'll see about this soon, but this idea of, again, every Shevet having their own individual path, and now he just introduces us to a different idea, or not a different idea, but another layer, which is that you have this figure, Yaakov Avinu, sort of orchestrating all 12 Shvatim and directing them, and directing their tefillos to get to the right place, right? The Yesef Yaakov Raglov Elamita, that Yaakov gathers all the feet to the right Shevet. So ultimately, so this is an idea that we find, again, just I mentioned the Mizrach Shemagi before. So there's a famous tshuva from Mizrach Shemagi. We don't have many tshuvas of him, but there's one famous tshuva of him, which he talks about the Inyan of Nusachari. And this, the whole, and now it's not controversial, we're talking about hundreds of years ago, but the Inyan of like introducing or augmenting Nusach Ashkenaz to become what we call Nusach Svart, or Nusach Ari, there's different versions of it. But the most famous version is Nusach Svart, even though it might be like the least clear version of it, but that's the Mais Lemenig of Klal Yisrael, not all Klal Yisrael, many, not Nusach Svart. So what's this Inyan? Because this is you daven your Nusach, yeah? So this is what the Mizrach Magid explains, is that based on what Rav Nachman is talking about, that there's an Inyan, every Shevet has its Nusach, but the problem is if you don't know your Shevet, so how do you make sure that your davening is getting to the right place? So that's what the Mizrach Magid introduces. There's something that's called the Shar HaKailo, the universal gate that all the Shvatim are sort of, are able to access. And that Shar HaKailo was revealed to us by the Arizal, the Shar HaKailo, that's the Nusach Ari. And so by davening the Nusach of the Arizal, so that a person has access to the Shar HaKailo. Now what's interesting is, just a little bit on the side, so within that statement of the Mizrach Magid, there's all different like sort of interpretations or different paths to do that. There are some that decided, well listen, the Arizal davened Edut Mizrach. Even though, again, not always. I think on Shabbos and Yontif, or maybe just Yontif, he would go daven by Ashkenaz, by the Ashkenazi shul over there. And the tradition is that he would daven with Ashkenazim. Okay, but Bederach Klal, his private davening was Eidut Mizrach, and the Kavanis that Arizal revealed, that this word have this Kavana for this shame, Kaidish, and so on and so forth, is based on Eidut Mizrach. So since Mizrach Magid said, well, the Nusach Ari, the Arizal's Nusach is the Shar HaKailo. So because of that, many of the Tzadikim felt, okay, so let's go to, they daven with Arizal daven, finished. And so there are tzaddikim that did that. But b'derech klal, that's not the mahalach by the chassidim. What the chassidim did was that we still have the foundation of Nusach Ashkenaz. Like, what is Nusach Svar? So you have Eidut Mizrach by the Svaradim. That's what the Arizal davened, straight. Then you have Nusach Ashkenaz. So, what is Nusach Svard? Nusach Svard is said the Mizrach Magid, because we want to connect to the Shar, because you don't know what your shavit is. So Nusach Ashkenaz is a Gevaldig Nusach based on Ruach HaKadosh and so on, but it's for a particular shavit or a particular few shvatim, I don't know exactly. And if you don't know what your shavit is, then maybe Nusach Ashkenaz is not yours. So you need the Shar HaKoyel. And so the Mizrach Magid, the Arizal revealed the Shar HaKoyel. So Davin, what the Arizal did, Eidut Mizrach. So what's this in Nusach Svar? What's Nusach Svar? Nusach Svar is Nusach Ashkenaz, and whatever particular pieces that the Arizal revealed in his system of Kavanis that, you know, that doesn't fit with Nusach Ashkenaz, so that we change. That we, you know, sort of augment to Nusach Svar, to Eidut Mizrach. So it's like this, not a hybrid, but it's like, it's basically Nusach Ashkenaz with alterations to connect it to the system of the Arizal. Why is that the Shara Kailal? So the answer is, I mean, once you see this piece in Rav Nachman, then it becomes a little bit more clear. It's not a new shar. The shar koil is what Yaakov Avinu was doing, which is v'yesayf raglov el hamita. It's directing all the shvatim in their proper way. The shar, the ultimate tachlis is that you should find your chelik. The shar koil means that you could that somehow you can find your chelik that when you daven your nusach. It's going to bring you to that place. It's not like magic words, you know. Like, by connecting to the tzaddik, the Ari HaKadosh, who revealed, you know, the system of the Ari HaKadosh, then that functions. Then the Arizal and those words that you say that are connected to the Arizal functions as the Yaakov Avinu, the Yesef Ragel of Elamita. He's pulling the string. He's making sure that everything he's doing. Guiding traffic. He's making sure that everything goes in the right way. It's not the pshat that you neglect your mata, your shevet. Adrabah, Rav Nachman is saying the whole time that you have to get to your shevet. But how do you know that the davening that you're doing is going to ultimately go to your shevet? So sometimes if you know your nusach and you know, so then you know how to do it. But sometimes you need a tzaddik like Yaakov Avinu to direct traffic and to make sure to put the lanes up and to make sure that tefillah that you're offering up goes into the right place. That's what the kavanas of the Arizal, that's what the Arizal, you know, one of the things that he contributes is that he functions and his, the connection to the Ari HaKadosh means that you have that now you have a tzaddik that's guiding you to your shar. The Shara Kaila means this force of Yaakov Avinu, so to speak, to gather all the shvatim in its proper shayrish, in its proper lane, in its proper proper place. And that's why part of the kavanah of when you daven Nusach Svard is, even if you don't know why this word is being changed, and like, you know, so, you know, why in the kavanah of the Arizal does Haidu have to come before Baruch Shamar? But the point is, since the Arizal held in his system, Haidu comes before Baruch Shamar, and that's what I'm doing. It means I'm akasha myself to the Ari HaKadosh. And once I'm akasha myself to the Ari HaKadosh, then now when I'm davening these words of tefillah, so then automatically the tzaddik, you know, of the Ari HaKadosh is guiding me to that particular chelik. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that this idea of every shevet having its own nusach, I guess on a very simple level, means literally everyone had their own nusach. But the way Rav Nachman is defining for us what that means is much more than just having a certain sitter. It means that whatever words that you're saying, the tefillah should bring you to that place of ayin. That's what it means to daven to your davening your nusach, and it should bring you in your particular neshama to your state of ayin. And davening has to do that. It doesn't have to do with what nusach you daven, and you have a large percentage of Klal Yisrael that's davening nusach Ashkenaz. That could also be divided into many, many shvatim, and that nusach that's called Ashkenaz can bring you to the Yerushalayim. How do I make sure that the davening has that power to do that. So I'm makasha myself to a tzaddik, like the Ari HaKadosh, a Yaakov Avinu type, that he orchestrates the traffic to make sure that my avoid of davening brings me to my shayrish. How do I connect myself to the Ari HaKadosh? So the Mizrach Maggid said, an Eitzah would be to augment the words in your nusach that you anywhere are davening in a way that fits with his kavanas. Do that. And if you don't do that, that's also fun. Just be makashi yourself to the tzaddiki ador. And that's the way that they direct us. Again, you have to think this idea, it's very late, but this idea of like, you know, 12 nusachs, and there's a sharko, there's a 13 nusach. The whole idea of you have to think deeper than just like it you know, different texts. It's a pathway of the soul. It's a pathway of the soul. And the average siddur that you have has contained within that all the different pathways. But how do I make sure that I'm experiencing, my neshama is experiencing through these words, its individual path to get to its place of nothingness? That's through hiskashrus, to a tzaddik that's able to sort of encompass all of this and direct traffic appropriately, and that was the Arizal. So the way to be makash myself to the Arizal, Mizrach Maggid taught, is by augmenting the words of your nusach, whatever nusach you do, to fit with his system of kavanas. If that's your masar, then good. If that's not your masar, then you could also be makash yourself to the Arizal in other ways. That's not the Indian, but that's the idea of a yes of Yaakov Ragel of Elamita, the Yaakov, the Tzadik Hador, brings all the raglaim, all the tefillas, and he directs it in the proper way. Okay. Bez Hashem, what we're going to see next time is Rav Nachman then makes it personal. What can we do to make sure that our tefillas are taka going in that way, besides just throwing it over to the Arizal and giving him the responsibility? All right, shkarech.